to the Sun on the Strip podcast. I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer for the Las Vegas Sun, here every Wednesday to get you caught up on all the news from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip and bring you an exclusive conversation with an important name or names in Vegas entertainment. Thanks for listening. Hey, listen, this is usually one of my favorite times of the year on the Strip, these weeks between Thanksgiving and Christmas, because usually things slow down a little bit, not a lot, just a little bit, and I typically like to take advantage of that time to go see a favorite show or eat at a great restaurant at a casino without the normal huge Vegas crowds. This year, I don't like it. This year sucks, of course, because the normal slowdown time is too slow. There's not much going on along the Strip right now, and unfortunately, it seems like that's the way it's going to be until the new year. That's not to say you can't eat at those great restaurants and go see a show. You definitely can do that if you're up for it in a very safe and enjoyable way. But there's not much news to share with you this week because we're still in what was announced as a three-week pause that puts additional restrictions on entertainment events. So some of the events that we're planning to come back this month are waiting to see what happens next before they go ahead with those plans. The Strip is in a holding pattern. But one important item that broke Friday night is that Virgin Hotels Las Vegas, the former Hard Rock Hotel site that is nearing the end of its construction and renovation into a brand new casino resort just east of the Strip, is pushing back its opening date once again. In September, Virgin set January 15th as the big day, and now officials are saying that's not going to happen due to the market conditions. It makes sense, but it's a bit of a bummer. Expect a new date announcement soon for Virgin Las Vegas. Okay, on to something better for you to listen to today. Dani Elizabeth is a dancer and a showgirl and the host of the longest-running burlesque-style revue in Las Vegas, Crazy Girls, at the Planet Hollywood Resort. Just a few months ago, Dani's boyfriend of about 3 years popped the question, and she said yes, which is very exciting. You've probably heard of him too. Murray Sawchuk has been a headlining magician and comedian on the Strip for about a decade. He has his own show at the Laugh Factory at the Tropicana. And just about a year ago, he started performing in Fantasy at Luxor as well. Murray's also got a huge following on YouTube, one of the biggest of any Vegas entertainer. So the cool thing about these two is that when shows returned in the fall, they were able to get back to performing together in Fantasy, which was pretty special. We're going to talk all about all their shows, their new side business, and lots of other stuff right now on the Sun on the Strip. This is Murray Sawchuk and Dani Elizabeth. So we have a lot to talk about with you two, but first of all, first things first, I have to congratulate you on your recent engagement.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Thank you.
Like, oh, yeah, we got engaged, too, among all these others.
Yeah, that's right. We joined the club.
You want to tell the story of how that happened, how you kind of popped the question? Because that was a pretty fun occasion.
Yeah, well, you know, we're pretty low-key and directly, you know. And we've been together 3 years, and I thought, well, our three-year anniversary is on September 28th. And I thought, well, what do you get for a gift, you know? And after 3 years, you know, we'd like to have kids one day. You know, we don't have any kids at all yet. And you know, we want to get on with living life. And this year's been a bit of a slowdown for a lot of people. And I thought, well, we've been living together forever. So that was at the time. So we went to Mount Charleston, where we love going, getting a cabin, which a lot of locals do. You know, it's kind of a fun hang. So we're all the pups up there, and we're just kind of chilling out with our boxed wine and our snacks. And my father and mother, who married, my dad's gone now, he's been gone for 5 years, but they were married about 54 years. He asked my mother to marry him from a Cracker Jack box, which is the Cracker Jack box with the prize inside. The real prize, actually had a prize, like a wooden, you know, a wooden top or something that was actually tangible. Well, I thought she knew that my father asked my mother that, and I thought, but that's how I wanted to ask her. And I thought, well, maybe she didn't remember. So I ordered 24 boxes of Cracker Jacks on Amazon because I couldn't buy just one, because not that I didn't want to, I just couldn't buy just one box. And then I thought, that's going to look weird out of the blue, this Cracker Jack box from the 1950s in our cupboard. And I thought, well, I better get some. So I ordered some old cheesies, these Canadian type cheesies that taste as old as they look. and they're from the 50s. So now it was one of these, I went down a rabbit hole, bought a bunch of stuff on Amazon thing. So it was a diffused the idea.
Every day he was eating them. Every day.
Everyone who came over. And then I realized, I opened the Cracker Jack box, and there was no cool prizes. It's a piece of paper that you got to take now a screen capture of, and it sends you to a website. And I'm like, oh no, there goes my whole idea. Anyways, I ate Cracker Jacks for a week and a half. I hopefully put that out of our mind that these are now a normal thing in our home. And then we went up to Mount Charleston, drinking the wine, had snacks at the table. I thought, well, I got to get this onto the so I can relax and enjoy this little mini vacation, you know? So, and I got the ring down the pawn shop with the boys who I'm with, you know, Rick and Harris and all them. They're one of the greatest gemologists in Vegas, so they give me a good rate. So I got a cool ring and design for her. And then, so I had it in my pocket the whole time. And then I invited her. It was having a drink. And I said, oh my God, there's a prize in the box. And she's like, yeah, I know, but everything is a piece of paper. I said, no, maybe this is a good one. I don't know. And she went with it, took the paper, and I glued the ring inside the paper thing, thinking, well, as soon as she grabs that, that's going to be it. She's got to know now. She grabs it. Oh my God, there's actually something in it. I'm thinking, I'm waiting to get on my knee. I'm thinking, okay, I'm waiting for the moment when you realize this is, and she's like, holy crow, this is actually, maybe they started putting real things back in the Cracker Jack. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you don't remember the story of my parents, and now there's actually something in something that never was something. And I'm like, oh, come on. And she started opening, she's like, I think it's a ring. And I thought, nothing yet. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So I'm like, I got to get on with this. So I just got on my knee, and I asked her to marry me. And she's like, are you serious? Like, you
that
just
was my
not
answer.
Is this a prank? One of your YouTube videos? I'm like, no, I'm serious. She said, yeah. Did you set up a camera? I said, no, I didn't videotape any of this. I said, anything that personal in our lives, I really, we don't put on cameras. It's ironic. So that was it. And then she asked me again. It took about half an hour to sink in, and then go on.
And then I started crying. It took me 30 minutes. I didn't think it was real at first. I was like, but how did I not know about this? I know everything. But when I first pulled it out, though, I thought, I don't know if you know, they sell these bath bombs that have like these gems in them. And, some of the jewel, like the rings are, you know, some of them are like worth $5. And then you could get all the way up to like one that's worth like thousands of dollars. And so I pulled out the back when I finally got the prize package open, because mind you, that also felt like it took me like 10 minutes. It was sealed so tight. And so when I finally got it open, I pulled out like the back of the ring. So I didn't see the front. And I'm like, oh, wow, it's a ring. Maybe they're going to start putting rings in. We got the lucky box. And then I turned it around and I was like, that's when I got really super confused. Cause I'm like, this is not a kind of ring that you would pull out of any kind of Cracker Jack box or bath bomb. So then I was stunned and I looked up, and then he was on his knee, and I was like, just still so confused. That's why when he asked me, I was like, are you serious? Are you for real? And he's like, well, yeah. And then I was like, I mean, of course, yes. I mean, I would have yesterday. Of course, yes.
And that was it. And then she called everybody and kind of hung out. And I didn't tell her parents or anybody, so nobody knew, because I really wanted it to be a surprise. We didn't even look at rings or nothing. I just went in, did it myself, and that was it. So there you go. That's the short version.
He did really good.
That was kind of the start of the fall. And then the first week in November, shows are reopening.
That's right.
And you guys get to go back to work. Fantasy at Luxor is currently on hopefully a short break right now, along with a lot of other shows under this three-week pause that we're in. But when it first reopened, you guys both were able to get back on stage again, right? What was that experience like?
Well, it's cool because Anita Mann, who produces and owns the show, she talked with MGM, and they had to move from their original theater, you know, which holds about 380 people, to the large theater, which is the old Run Theater, which is now called the Luxor Theater, which is like 1,500 seats, because they could socially distance and they could go to the maximum 250 capacity sales, you know, because that they can actually make money at that by spreading those people out. So could Carrot Top, because they work as a unit. You know, Carrot's the early show and then the late show. So that worked, you know, and we spread everybody out. We were selling out every night. And so when I went into that, she said, Mer, we're in this big theater. I know you got a lot of big illusions. If you want to do them, you can. It would fill a stage up a little bit, you know, and they're going to be a lot more distant away. So that front row interaction isn't going to be there. And I said, sure, if that's what you want, I got them. You know, they're in my garage. And so I recolored them, kind of made them more fantasy looking, you know, with the colors. And then Danny, who's a show girl and she's danced all her life, who's, you know, this is the host of Crazy Girls, of course, at Planet Hollywood. She's done the tricks. She's learned them only over COVID, because we did them on some YouTube stuff in our street. And so she learned them. And I said, well, maybe you can help teach the girls. because she wanted to use her girls in the illusions. And they are learning the show again because it's been 8 months. Mm-hmm. So we got on stage with Danny showing them. And as you may know, there's quite, it's not as easy as getting in a box. You're not just getting in a box. You know, every move you make in that box is putting you somewhere so you don't get stabbed or poked or to try to create this illusion.
Or ruin the trick.
So Danny knows how to do that. So we were teaching some of the girls. The next day we came back in, and because we were putting this whole show together and it was on a new stage, and he was like, hey, do you think that a Danny could possibly do the show for the first week or two? Because these girls got to worry about the show itself. And Danny, she's fantasy material because she looks like the girls. She's built the same. She's in the biz. She knows everything. Would that be okay? And her show wasn't back yet. And we talked. I said, yeah. So indirectly, she's now, you know, been in the show now full time as my assistant under my umbrella in fantasy. And it's been a lot of fun work. We've got to drive to work together. Got a real nice dressing room. We get to bring the pups to work and all that. And it's kind of fun. It's something really unexpected. I never expect for us to work together just because, you know, we're both entertainers. It's kind of nice to have your own vibe, you know. But we really hit it off and working together, you know, in that sense. And we love it. Yeah
it was a lot of fun.
You right?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I had a moment where I was like, okay, I'm going to start making lists of things that I can do when Murray goes to work before they ask me to stay in the show. So I was like, okay, for the last 8 months, you know, we hang out. I mean, of course, we love each other, but we also love just hanging out with each other. You know, we actually enjoy each other's company. So I'm like, okay, well, he's going back to work. What am I going to do every night? I got to keep myself busy. So I started making all these lists of things I wanted to do. And then before I know it, I ended up doing the show with him. And then Anita came up to me before the first show. And she's like, okay, so look, Danny, I know you have your show. But do you think that, you know, maybe you could do this with Murray until, I don't know, your show comes back? And I'm like, well, yeah, sure. That sounds great. Count me in. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
And then Danny was like, well, which is your day off? And I said, we don't have a day off till Christmas Eve.
My little workaholic.
She's like, what do you mean? I said, well, when we came back, I told Anita I want to work 7 days a week because I'm a workaholic. I love working. I haven't been on stage for 8 months. And to come in for me as a guest act, you know, to do from 10:30 to midnight is wonderful. It's not work at all. I love it. So we work straight through every night, you know, until the pause. And hopefully on the 17th, we all get back to work again safely, you know, and hopefully the rules are changed a little bit so we can, you know, have that amount of people still in a bigger enough room. You know, I think that's right. The problem. That's the concern. You know?
Right.
Yeah. Like you guys said, Crazy Girls is not back yet. Danny, how long have you been in that show?
I've been in Crazy Girls now since Jubilee closed, actually. I found out the last night of Jubilee that I had the job as a swing in Crazy Girls. So almost 5 years. And I've been hosting it for about 2.5 of those years. Mm-hmm. And we've been, you know, on, I like the word pause. We've been on a pause since March 14th. So we're hoping that in January, we can go back. But it all depends on, you know, what the stipulations are and the consequences. Because in our theater, it's a very small venue. And right. With the 25-foot back rule, we can't do anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even with 50 people, like, that still puts it at a difficult place to count on getting a full 50 people in there every night to even make a profit. But really, we need that 25-foot rule to change before we could even consider going back, or we have to find another room because our theater just doesn't have the capacity to make that happen.
Right, right. And like you said, prior to that gig, you were a dancer, a showgirl in the most famous showgirl show ever, Jubilee.
Yeah,
those seem like very, very different jobs and very different kinds of performances, right? What was that transition like for you?
100%. It was interesting in the sense that when I left Jubilee, I was preparing myself to not dance anymore because I was extremely injured. And because as you know, that show, the costumes are so heavy, the up and down the flights of stairs in a two-show night, we would climb anywhere from like 12 to 1400 stairs a night with costumes and all the weight. So I had a lot of issues going on, just not even from the dancing, just from getting to the stage. So at first I was like, you know, I don't even want to do another show. And then I saw Crazy Girls and I was like, wow, there are six people in the entire show, or seven at the time. I'm like, that's like half of my dressing room, and there's eight dressing rooms in Jubilee. So I was like, wow, it's really intimate and it's different. And, you know, you connect more with the audience. And because I was a short nude, so I was on stage and right up front a lot of times, but even as a principal, the principal dancers, it doesn't have the same connection with the audience because you have 1,000 people and you're so far back on this giant stage. So it was a little intimidating because I was used to being topless in Jubilee, but with, you know, feathers and crystals and everywhere. And then I went to being topless in a show where you're, you know, 5 feet from the front row, sometimes, you know, maybe a foot, and wearing a G-string being topless. So that, you know, messed with my head a little bit because I'm like, wow, I'm aware that I'm topless. We're in Jubilee, whereas in Jubilee, I didn't have that same mentality because, you know, my costumes and all of the clothes that I was wearing weighed so much. So I was more like, oh my goodness, I can't wait to put my arms down because my bicep is killing me from holding it up with all these jewels. So that was interesting. And then it was about a year and a half into the show before I got asked if I wanted to try hosting the show a shot. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll try this out. And then about, you know, a month into preparing my monologue and everything, I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? I'm a dancer. I don't talk. And my producer was like, well, you know, you're from upstate New York, Italian. I see the way you talk to your friends who talk. So I think you'll be great. We'll figure it out. And then since then, I've been, you know, trying to tighten it up and work on it, and we went to a couple stand-up.
Open mic.
Yep, open mic moments. And right before the world shut down, I went to my first one here in Las Vegas, and I was really excited, and I got up there, and I had a good little riff, and then I forgot some of my stuff that I've been doing forever just because my adrenaline was going so much, and I was like, okay, next week I'm going back. Like, honey, I'm going to do this once a week, and then 4 days later, the world shut down. But that's okay because we have time. We'll go back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Patience.
It must be cool for you guys. I'm sure this is a significant part of your dynamic that you are, you know, you're both performers and you're in the same industry, even though you do very different things, that you can kind of bounce ideas off of each other and give each other new ideas and perspectives on what you each do.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah, you have different aspects, you know what I mean? Like, if I got to use women or dancers in the show, she can give me their perspective, you know what I mean, which is really interesting, you know? And then also, for me, being a comedian and a magician for so long, a lot of ideas I'll share with her every day. She'll say something funny, and I go, that's a great premise. Write that down. You know, that's not the joke, but that's a premise. No one's talking about her. And that's how you kind of develop stuff, because when you think like that, I always think funny. I always see what can be funny about that, you know what I mean? Because I like writing new material and stuff, you know? So you kind of help each other out, and it's exciting, you know? And, you know, I told this to her, I said, one day when we're 80 and I'm 120, we'll be an older couple that can say that we both worked on the Las Vegas Strip, headlining in our own shows, living together at the same time, which is such a rarity. It's rare to get one show on the Strip and for an hour or for a day or for a lifetime or whatever it is, let alone two people, you know, together on the same Strip. And then three shows with Fantasy and my show and then Crazy. I said, it's very rare. So we're very lucky because it's not going to last forever. Nothing does, but it's a pretty cool place to be to have that opportunity. You know?
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. Murray, you were, you, like you mentioned, you're a workaholic. You were pulling double duty, when everything shut down in Fantasy and your own show. Yep. At the Laugh Factory at the Trop. You just reopened that show last week, Thanksgiving week. That must have felt great to get back in your longer time home on the Strip.
Yeah.
That was ton.
Yeah, it was exciting. You know, it was different and exciting. And it's kind of like going back to summer camp. You know, you have summer camp and you have this 2 weeks or whatever it is in summer camp world and people's heads. And you leave the friends, the people, and the excitement. And then you come back and you wonder if that same excitement's going to happen again next summer, you know? Is the boat dock still there? Is the cabin still there? Are the same counselors or whatever the heck it is? And it really had that kind of a feeling going back in to the Laugh Factory. I've been there a long time. I was there for three and a half years before, but I went to Planet Hollywood, and I've been back there now going on two, I guess, years now. And it's just that you hope to God when you get on the bike, you can balance still and still start riding. And also with the stipulation, the 25 feet away from the stage, 6 feet apart, which in our showroom before the 50-person restriction was around 88 people or something like that. I think our room held 350 or something. And then once the stipulation came in, it's down to 50, which is great because everyone gets a great seat now in the showroom, without a doubt. It's almost all VIP seating. And, you know, they want to be there. But that first show out, we sold out, which is kind of funny saying selling out because it's 50 people. I mean, you know, if you can't sell 50 tickets in Vegas, it might not be the place to have a show. They're sold out for COVID, yeah. But regardless, I just think it's a very funny oxymoron saying that. But anyways, we opened Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we sold the max amount of tickets we could sell in those rooms, you know, which is pretty cool. And obviously it helps because of supply versus demand, you know what I mean? Supply is low, the demand's higher, of course. And I'm the only Magic show on the Strip at the moment, which is pretty cool. And our show's polished. We've been doing it for so darn long that, you know, and it's good for families. It's good for kids. There's not a lot of shows right now that are open. I guess there's some that are open now that are more family orientated that are out there at the moment, you know. But it's very personal and you're right there. It's up close. And it was nice to see people come out and want to be entertained. You know, it is different because I'm not bringing me on stage. That's okay. I got so much material. I just took a lot of the old stuff out and put the stuff in that I would do when I couldn't use volunteers, you know, or stuff I don't do on TV, which I don't always use volunteers in the audience, you know, and same with my guest act Lefty, who's back in the show, you know.
Now, as if you guys didn't have enough going on, you started a little pandemic side project when the rest of us were like figuring out how to bake bread or whatever we were doing.
We did that first.
Well, you guys started a whole new business though. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we started a company called Dirt Dreams Landscaping. And if anyone has ever been over to our home or any of our houses, you know, our backyards are kind of a big thing we love to hang out in, work out in, have people over. In all the properties I built a pond with waterfall and put a jacuzzi in and a mini pitch and putt golf course, built fireplaces and all sorts of things. And I've been doing this for years, you know, and she loves the outdoor stuff as well. And she's newer at it than me because I've been doing it for a long time, even in my other places I've lived. And I said, do you want to start? A couple of friends of mine who own landscaping companies said they've never been busier. And I said to her, and I've had friends over the COVID, like her sisters in Arizona went to see her, and we redid her whole patio in a day. We were sitting there, what do you want to do? And she just bought the house. Their patio needed a little bit of a hug. And I said, well, you know, for $800 and a credit card for Home Depot, we can fix your backyard. And it's like, here's my credit card, $800 or less. It's a go.
Yeah,
I think we came in about $500 or $600. We did it in a day. Her brother was in town. It was kind of a fun thing to do. And everyone says, oh, you really should start a company. I'm like, I don't have time. And I really don't, you know, in the entertainment business, the way I run with my YouTube, my TV, and my shows, and her world as well. And she's also a professional masseuse. So she has a massage business on the side as well. So I said, well, we got nothing else going on. Let's do it. I said, Dirt to Dreams, you know, I've had that name for years because I did a TV show for HGTV that I produced that was named that. It was just a pilot. And I said, I got the name. I said, why don't we do this, you know, and give it a shot. And so we made up business cards and made profiles, websites and all that basically on a weekend because she's great at social media and marketing. That's one of her strengths. And doing the business side is mine. And then within about 5 weeks, I think, went to Vancouver, Canada to see my mom for 3 weeks while we kind of worked on all the socials of it. And we came back. I think that first week we had 5 or 6 jobs to do. And now we're doing 7 or 10 gigs a month for the yard thing, doing yard cleanups, or we're renovating backyards, putting in a bocce ball court in the back of somebody's yard that they wanted to have. This is the side of the house they don't use. And I said, well, you can use it if you want to use it, you know? So yeah, so we're enjoying it. And it's kind of, the nice thing about it is it's so different from being on stage, but it's not because people will call us. Like I just literally came in, so I was a few minutes late for this, and from Pahrump. Somebody bought a new house, they got an empty backyard, and they want to do something. So it's kind of neat because I can use my creativity and so can she about ideas for the backyard. So it's kind of the same creativity you use walking on stage, writing a new joke or a new dance number. It's just in a different venue, you know, and it's kind of fun. And you can get yourself dirty and put a hat on. Don't have to wear a shaving or eyeliner or yeah. So yeah, we're loving it.
It's a pretty great plan. Is there some way to combine the landscaping with the massage business? Like I'm getting rubbed down while you're fixing my yard.
Yeah, maybe we need like a giant truck, you know, that has like a massage room built inside of it. And then another compartment where we can put all the tools so we can go do the yard and then, you know, work on the people that have the house. That's
sure.
The idea.
Yeah. Or maybe it's a deal, you know, plant a tree, get a free massage. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. You know, I mean, tree massage, maybe you're massaging the trees. And they grow better. We can start a whole thing. It'd be a whole Richard Simmons kind of guru Tony Robbins thing. You massage your tree.
Great. I love it.
I'm going to check this. Massagetrees.com. I'm going to check that domain on GoDaddy after this. Maybe that's the new thing. Maybe that's our business for 2021.
He will too. He'll buy it.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't tell me it was a good time.
Yeah, tree hugger.
Yeah, sure.
Usually I ask, you know, what you want to say to people who are going to be coming to your shows. There's at least three shows between you that are going to be coming back that people are going to be going to see as soon as possible. So what do you want to say to all those people who are looking forward to seeing you on stage in Vegas again?
Well, for me, I say come here. Vegas is open. We're doing it as safe as can be. You know, we respect everyone's wishes and we just want people to come to the shows, have a great time. Think about their world for an hour, you know, of all the problems of life, money, relationships, work, jobs. And that's what our job is as an entertainer. I don't care if you're a singer, juggler, dancer. That's our gig. That's what we get to do. And we love doing it. We've done it a lifetime. We're going to plan on doing it the rest of our lives, you know. So come have a great time. You know, Vegas is open.
Yeah. I say the same thing. Just come see us. You can stay updated through all the shows on the social media handles to see, you know, they'll post things about when they're coming back and everything. And also, from what we've seen, because we've been going to the casinos quite often, they are doing a phenomenal job of keeping everything clean and safe for everyone. So if that also provides peace of mind to come on out and kind of forget about COVID for a moment with your mask on and while washing your hands, the casinos are taking care of all that good stuff.
That's going to do it for this episode of The Sun on the Strip. Thanks for listening, and special thanks to Murray and Danny. Murray's performing now at the Laugh Factory at the Trop. Go to troplv.com to get tickets. And here's hoping they'll both be back on stage with Fantasy at Luxor on December 17th. We'll have to wait and see. And of course, Danny will be back hosting Crazy Girls as soon as it reopens, hopefully in January. At Planet Hollywood. Thanks for being here. I'll catch you next week for one more episode of The Sun on the Strip before my holiday break. Happy holidays.